With everyone, good to see all of you. Thank you, Teresa, for the special music. Kind of stark and meaningful all at the same time. Really appreciate you sharing your talents and praising God, and looking forward to a much better time than some of the difficulties that lie ahead. You know, we're back in Cincinnati again. We had been out of town over the weekend of the 4th. We were visiting Wheeling and Pittsburgh congregations over that weekend. We came back for a couple days. Then we were off to Minnesota for our Ironwood preteen camp. And so we had started that camp a few years ago. And we did a little bit of figuring. And now some of those campers that were at our very first camp that we started for the preteens in Minnesota are now 33 years old. So they showed some pictures for the first year we had camp, and one of the little ones came up to me, one of the campers, and said, "Wow, Mr. Myers, what was it like in the olden days?" Olden days? What do you mean? It wasn't that long ago. But 20 years goes by just like that sometimes, and so it is amazing. We did have a wonderful time. We just didn't go to camp and sit around. We had the opportunity to oversee the team challenge activities. So Kathy and I did quite a few different exercises and activities with the campers when it comes to team challenge. Now, I don't know if some of you have ever been involved with team challenge, or sometimes companies will call them a little bit differently. They'll call them team building exercises. So any of you ever been involved in team building exercises? Okay, yes, I see the hands. Sometimes, we've done that. We had an interesting time with the children. We did a number of different things. And it always seems that some of the best activities have to do with blindfolds. So you give all these instructions, and then you tell them, "Oh, by the way, you have to wear a blindfold." And so then they go in an uproar, "Oh, no, how are we going to do that?" In fact, one of the probably most commonly done team-building exercise is called the Sherpa Walk. Anyone ever hear of the Sherpa Walk? Okay, a few of you. Like, what in the world is a Sherpa? Well, a Sherpa, the name comes from those legendary high-altitude guides that would lead the way up on Mount Everest. Those were the Sherpas. And because of who they are and where they grew up, it seems that they have a special kind of genetic makeup that they can withstand those high altitudes. So the Sherpas were the guides. They were the ones that were the climbers and led people to the top of the world on the Himalayas. Those were the Sherpas. So this idea of a Sherpa walk is taken from that idea of being guided. Now, of course, you just can't take someone and lead them somewhere. You got to have blindfolds. So on the Sherpa walk, or sometimes they call it the Sherpa trust walk, you blindfold everyone, and then they are led, they are guided by only one person that can see. And everyone either is attached by a rope, or they hold hands, and they have to lead them. Sometimes just lead them through an area outside, or maybe through an obstacle course. And of course, like most team building exercises, the Sherpa walk is designed to build trust. It's called the trust walk. And if you don't trust the lead, you might just step in a hole, or you might run off course, or you might fall down. And so when you think about this concept of the Sherpa walk, there are definitely connections to our Christian walk as well. In a way, we're called to be successful Christians by allowing God to lead us in a spiritual, you might say, Sherpa walk. I mean, do we even realize how difficult it is to trust these days? That's why these companies do these team-building exercises, to build a commonality, to build a trust between team members. Because fear is so common these days that it actually has an official designation. Do you know what they call it? Yeah, it has a special designation. It's called pistanthrophobia. Yeah, big name. Pisanthrophobia. The fear of trusting. Yeah, it's got a big name for really, it's a big problem. It is a big problem. Not trusting. Where does that get you? Well, I could get hurt if I trust them. I could be betrayed if I trust them. But if you don't develop trust, where is that going to lead you? Well, you'll be isolated. You'll be left alone. I'm sure it will be a difficult situation. And when you begin to think about that in comparison to our spiritual walk, trust may be the most important factor in our relationship with God. And really understanding Him and knowing Him, knowing His will for my life, knowing my purpose, how to grow in grace and knowledge, how to draw closer to God, how to be a faithful steward. All of these things are tied into trust. Even preparing for the kingdom of God has a connection to building trust and a close relationship with God. And so preteen camp got me thinking about that very thing. How can we grow in a much closer relationship with God and truly trust Him? How can we be trusting on this calling that God's given us to walk the Sherpa trust walk of life? Because that's, in a way, our calling. So as we think about that this afternoon, begin to think about, well, what exactly is trust after all? Now, I didn't bring the dictionary definition or anything like that, but how would you define trust? I did hear one definition. It said that trust is believing the dentist when he says it's not going to hurt. Okay, that is one form of trust. But let's think about that for a minute. How can I trust God? Well, here's how. Number one. Be totally committed to God, both in your heart and your mind. That sounds kind of easy, but can I be totally committed to God in heart and mind? If I'm going to develop a close relationship with Him, I have to totally trust Him. And there's a beautiful proverb that really exemplifies this over in Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to take a look at this whole section of Scripture as we kind of kick off this idea of how I can grow and develop a true relationship of deep trust and honesty with God. If God's called me to the spiritual Sherpa walk, then I've got to trust Him because I'm in a sense blindfolded when I face this world and the way I should walk in this world. But God knows. God knows the way. He's the one we have to trust as He leads us through this life. So Proverbs chapter 3 discusses that very fact. Notice what it says here in Proverbs chapter 3, right at the very beginning of the chapter. Verse 1, here speaking on God's behalf, "My son, don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands." In fact, one translation say, obey them, obey my commands completely, completely, thoroughly. So we've got to trust God from the bottom of our hearts. And that's kind of difficult sometimes because it feels like I'm blindfolded in life. Sometimes I can't see clearly. I can't figure it out myself. It's not possible. So I have to trust the one that does have it figured out. And so in a way, here's Solomon talking about this relationship we're supposed to have with God. And it begins with total trust and obedience. He talks about complete, thorough obedience. In fact, notice the result of that. He says, don't forget, keep my commands. Verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. So, interesting connection here between not forgetting and obedience and then the results. Verse 3, he says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And so he reminds us that's where it needs to be. We need to obey God, not just logically, but out of our heart as well, with everything we are. So we have an interesting connection between love and loyalty connected to this trust taking first place in our life. That's got to be number one, that we know God and we believe Him, we're going to obey Him, and we're going to trust Him. So the challenge then is to listen to God in everything we do. Now, some of the Sherpa's walks that you might do, they'll actually allow the leader to talk. And so he's the only one that, or she, is the only one that's not blindfolded. And as they've got this string of campers behind them, okay, everyone take a step to the left. No, the first three, take a step to the right, follow along. And they can call out instructions as they go. So they can go in the right direction and avoid all the obstacles that might be presented before them. Now, in a way, God's the one that calls out to us and gives us the way we should walk. And He calls it and tells it the best way to keep us safe. And so we have to step out of this and recognize, I can't see where to walk. I'm not sure the track I should follow. And we certainly can't assume that we know what's best. And so He reminds us, verse 4, when we follow those instructions, He says, so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Well, in other words, God's going to like us. I mean, He already loves us. We're going to follow Him. People will like us. They're going to esteem us. There's going to be benefits from following God's way. And in fact, then He follows that with probably a pretty familiar passage in Scripture when we look at Proverbs 3:5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. So God is the ultimate Sherpa when we come to this life. He knows the best way to go. Do we always let Him lead us? It says He's going to clear the path. He's going to help us avoid the obstacles. He's going to guide us. So He says, don't be wise in your own eyes. And it's always interesting listening to the campers because some of them just can't keep quiet. They might be blindfolded, but, oh, I'm not sure we're going the right way. Are you sure? I think we're in trouble. Oh, no, are we going? And they can't help themselves to verbalize their worry and their fear. And the leader's going to say, no, this is the best way. Just listen to me. Let me guide you. And so ultimately, as it says here, okay, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the leader. Follow the leader. So He says in verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of your increase. Your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will overflow with new wine. And I believe that's not just talking about physical blessings, but ultimately the more important spiritual ones. We honor God in everything we do, in everything that we own. We give Him the first. We give Him the best. And He will supply our need. And most importantly, the need to be close to Him, to have a relationship with Him, to be led by Him. And so when we look at Proverbs chapter 3, there's some powerful observations we make here as we consider this total commitment. In order to trust God, it takes a total commitment. If you notice these things, did you see what it's telling us about these different sayings? When we look through this verse, what jumps out at you? Well, hopefully you notice all of these sayings are all inclusive. They're all inclusive. There's no exceptions. I mean, did God say, well, partially obey me? Or just give it your best shot? No, He doesn't say, well, follow some of my instructions. No, He didn't say, well, with most of your heart, you know, put a little bit into it. No, if we're to trust, we see it's not a sometimes kind of once in a while kind of thing. He's the leader. Do we really commit to follow and trust Him? And so we see these words that jump out to my eye as I look down here. He says, don't forget. He says, keep. He says, all. He says, bind them. Acknowledge all your heart, all your ways. Acknowledge, honor. All inclusive. Don't see any exceptions here. So it's sure a reminder that it's a total commitment that God wants for us so we can have a close relationship with Him. And in fact, as we look down these verses, there's another thing that jumps out at me. These statements that God makes precede a promise. They come before a promise. You could think of it as a if, then. If you do these things, then here's the result. And so each one of these commands is followed by a promise. The promise follows that. So God says, if we do these things, there's going to be some amazing, wonderful results. And we're not just talking about physical things. Spiritual things are much more important. And so as we look at these different commands and the promises and the results, there's also something else that's important. Did you notice how they're conditional? If you do this, then these things will. There's a contingent aspect to this. We do our part. God promises to do his part. And so it starts with trust. Having a total commitment to God in our heart and our mind. And then we got to ask ourselves when we look at these statements, well, do I have that kind of confidence in God? You know, how does it work? Do I truly trust God? And of course, the answer is usually, well, yeah, of course I do. Of course I do, isn't that? Well, do I trust and obey him completely? Is he really my source? Will he really supply my needs? Do I trust him in everything? Or maybe we're like some of those preteeners that we had at camp. So we were doing one exercise with Team Challenge, and of course, you give them different instructions, and you say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And they go, oh, no, that's going to be hard. Well, now we're going to put on blindfolds. Ah, we can't do it, and it's not going to be possible. And they overreact, and they're very emotional. It's so much fun to spring something new on them that they're not ready for. But then you get into the exercise, and in one exercise we had a leader giving directions to their partner who was blindfolded. Now, some of them are very trusting, and they listen to the one giving them instructions, and they follow right along. But, you know, a lot of them just couldn't do it. A lot of them, once you get them blindfolded and they start through the obstacles, you know what they're doing? They keep peeking all the time. Or the really sneaky ones do this. Okay. And they're cheating. And I think it's such a reminder. Do we do that as adults? I mean, when we think about, do I trust God in some things? But then other things, I think I better be careful. I'm not quite sure. I better keep my own eyes open. And maybe we trust him in big things, but what about the small things? Or maybe vice versa. Do we trust him in the small things, but the big things, I better keep a handle on this one, God. And so it is an incredible, difficult question to answer, especially when you put it in the context of the world we live in. I ran across the Edelman Trust Barometer. You may never have heard of the Edelman Company, but they do an annual survey for businesses that focuses on trust, and they do this every year. This year's results were kind of interesting. I mean, this company's done it for decades, and they study the influence of trust all across society to help businesses succeed is really their purpose. One of the things they found in this year's 2022 survey was the default emotion for most individuals. If you had to name the default emotion for most people today, do you know what it is? Their survey found it is distrust. Not trust in anybody. So 6 out of 10 people, that was their go-to tendency. Not to trust anything or anyone for that matter. In fact, it was interesting. They found that 64% of the people that they surveyed said they are incapable of having a constructive conversation or debate with someone that they disagree with. Can you imagine that? Not that we could agree to disagree in any way. They said they were incapable of talking to someone else that they disagree about something on. Can't even talk about it. And I think if we look around the world today, is that the way that it is? I think in so many instances that is the case. And so Satan is so sly that in the society we live in that goes to distrust, that goes to question things, that can't even have a civil conversation with other people, that can influence us. And we have to be so careful that that doesn't influence our perspective on God and His Word. And so we have to overcome the challenge of the default emotion in our world today and trust God and trust His Word and realize it is possible. With God's help, we can be totally committed to Him in both heart and mind. But sometimes it's going to feel like we're wearing a blindfold. We're not sure where we're going. But we always have to recognize God is in charge and He promises to lead us. So trusting God is definitely a key to our spiritual success. So how do you develop that relationship, that deep trusting relationship with God? Yes, it takes total commitment. But secondly, we can realize God's care is constant. God constantly watches out for our best interest. Now you might say, well, wait a second. Sometimes it doesn't seem like God's very close. Sometimes I feel like God's a million miles away. I'm not sure about that. Because it feels like maybe God's forgotten about me. He's not really, is He really that involved in my life? I wonder sometimes if that's the case. And we can be tempted to feel that way. Maybe we all feel that way from time to time. Maybe we can truly relate to what David said in Psalm 22. He said, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Those were David's words originally. He deeply felt, where are you, God? I'm going through this difficulty and it feels like you've given up on me, that you've deserted me, that you're far away. And it's easy in those situations to wonder if God really, truly does care. Or maybe He only cares part of the time. Doesn't He hear me? Doesn't He feel my pain? Doesn't He know I'm just groaning, yearning for Him, and I can't seem to find Him? We go to that default emotion that Edelman talked about. And that's the challenge. The challenge is, will we believe those feelings? Because we really feel it. We really sense that. But will we go with the feeling and the emotion? Or do we default to the Word of God? I mean, we certainly feel that way. And those are strong emotions. Those are strong feelings. But are feelings the measure of truth? You see, we've got to remind ourselves, feelings aren't always truth. They're not really truthful. The Word of God is truth. All right, John 17:17, Christ said that very clearly. Thy word is truth. That's not the things I feel. So if we feel God isn't near, or He's gone off somewhere, He's not really understanding my issues, we have to come back and recognize His Word. Remember His promises. Remember what He has said to each and every one of us. Because He reassures us. If we go to His Word and don't default to the feelings or the distrust, that His care is absolutely constant. The book of Isaiah is a great example of that very fact. If you turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 43. I'm sorry, 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Notice Isaiah chapter 41. He says it a number of times here, just as a tremendous admonishment, as a great reminder that on this spiritual Sherpa walk, God hasn't gone off and left us blindfolded. Yeah, life may be uncertain at times, but here he gives us a very specific reminder In fact, notice how specific this is. If we look at Isaiah 41:10, here Isaiah is really quoting God. He's quoting God, so we could think of this as God speaking to us. Here's God speaking, and notice what he says in verse 10. He says, "Fear not, for I am with you." But I feel that you're not. "Fear not, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand." And if you don't believe that, I'll say it again. Go down to verse 13. Verse 13, "I'm the Lord. I'll hold your right hand, saying, 'Fear not, I will help you.'" Have you ever thought of it that way? When it seems like God might be missing, he's not involved, he's gone off. No, God tells us, "Wait a second, I'm not going to just send an angel to help you." He says, "I'm going to hold your hand. I'll hold your hand. I'll hold your hand in my hand." And so he gives us this beautiful figurative expression to show how close he is to us. We might not know that he's right there because, after all, I'm blindfolded. I don't know the way to walk. I don't know how to direct my steps. But my Creator does. And he's right there leading the way. In fact, oftentimes on Sherpa walks, you hold each other's hands as you go through the obstacles. And here's God holding our hand. And he says, "Trust me. Trust me. I'm going to help you no matter what, because I'm caring for you continually." And he's personally there to strengthen us, to guide us, to support us, to encourage us. He's going to uphold us. And so we don't have to worry. We don't have to be dismayed. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be downhearted, because he says we can trust him, because he promised it. He promises it. So we don't have to doubt. Even when it seems like he might not be caring for us, he says he is. He is there no matter what. So we don't have to ponder that question. Are you really there? Are you really there? I suppose in a way it kind of reminded me of a story I heard about. A little boy was walking on the beach. You may have heard this story. This little boy is walking, and here's this lady sitting on the beach, and he walks up to this lady, and he says to this woman, "Are you a Christian?" And the lady says, "Well, yes, I am." And the little boy then wasn't quite satisfied with that answer, so he said, "Well, do you read your Bible every day?" And the lady said, "Well, in fact, I do read my Bible every day." The little boy then said, "Well, do you pray a lot?" And the lady said, "Yes, I do." And the little boy said, "Well, good. Would you hold my quarter while I go swimming?" You see, I'm not going to trust you unless I get the right answers that I want. We don't want to be like that little boy and question, well, what would God's answers be? He'd be, "Well, of course I'm with you. Of course I'm caring for you. Of course I've got your best interest at heart. Of course I am there." God's answer is yes. It is yes, even when it feels different to us. That's when we go to God's word and we recognize, "Fear not. He is with me. I don't have to be downhearted and discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Because he's here. He's there all the time." In fact, if you flip over a page or so to Isaiah 43, here he reminds us that even in those challenges, he's there. He's there watching out for us. In fact, Isaiah 43, at the end of verse 1, he says it again, "Fear not." Because, yeah, that lack of trust and worry and doubt, yes, tends to be our go-to emotion. He says, "I've redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine." Boy, if we didn't trust God, he says, "You belong to me. We take care of things that belong to us." He says in verse 2, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through rivers, they'll not overflow you." Yeah, and sometimes it might be a little puddle that's the obstacle. But sometimes life brings a river, a current against us. But God says, you're going to be able to pass through that. The rivers of hardship and uncertainty, I'll be with you. And then he says, the fire's not going to burn you. You're not even going to be singed. You're not going to be scorched. And so God reminds us of. And sometimes we look at that, we might say, oh, it's easier said than done. Can I have that kind of trust in God? Can I recognize how much He really cares for me? Well, do you trust some things in life? Well, anybody ever been to a doctor? Okay, you go into the doctor's office. What do they usually have on the wall? Ooh, all their diplomas and certificates, they're there. And you feel really good about that. But have any of you ever called the school, the medical school they went to, and say, what was my doctor's grades? C minus. Oh, well. No, we don't call to verify whether even that certificate is real. We just buy into it. And of course, what happens? The doctor then looks at you and they give you a diagnosis. And we believe it. And then they scribble on a piece of paper that I can't read their writing. And I believe they're giving me a prescription for something that's going to help me, but I don't know what it says. And I bring it to the pharmacist, who I don't know, and I expect him to put the right pills into the bottle that scribbling says he's supposed to do. And then I go home and I take those pills thinking I'm going to get better. That's trust. That's trust. So if we can trust in something like that, trust in some physical thing, how much more should we trust in our Creator God who made us? He says we can trust Him and His care is constant. It's not sporadic. It's not occasional. It's not partial. It is continuous. And if you think of it, God doesn't let anything touch us. Nothing can touch us. Nothing can come in our lives without first passing by God. And that's the kind of God we have. And so we can trust Him. It's the key. It's the key to a deep relationship with God. But can I really trust Him? You know, on this spiritual Sherpa walk of life, God tells us, here's how you can trust me. Here's a third way you can trust me. Not only do you realize it's a complete commitment, recognize my care is constant, but we have a generous God. God is generous. And if we want to recognize how much we can trust Him, recognize how much He gives us, how much He watches out for. And we're not just talking about physical things. Great example of this, Psalm 136. I'm going to turn over to Psalm 136 with me. A very familiar psalm. Psalm 136. We sing this song quite often at services. You recognize Psalm 136? Give thanks to God, for He is good. He who alone doeth great works, His kindness shall always endure. That wasn't very good. His kindness shall always endure. His mercy never fails. All right, His mercy. That's the psalm. That is it. Psalm 136. It's a song that we sing. And it points out the fact His mercy never fails. Or here in my King James, it says His love endures forever. And notice how generous our great God is. He's good. He is the God of gods. There is no other God before our awesome God. He is the Lord of lords, verse 3. He's done great wonders, verse 4. It says, His understanding, He made the heaven. He made everything. Can we trust Him? Yes, His love endures forever. It says, He made great lights. He made the sun, the moon, the stars. Verse 23, He remembers us. Even though He's so awesome and amazing and did these great things, He's concerned about me. He's concerned about every one of us. Says He's rescued us. He gives food to all the creation, all the creatures. And so we recognize the awesome things that he has done. And even that last statement, his mercy never fails, his mercy endures forever. You look up various translations of that last phrase that it repeats, verse after verse after verse after verse, just to remind us how generous and great and awesome our God is. His steadfast love endures forever. Yes, his love never quits, one translation says. His everlasting love endures forever. One translation says his faithful love. Another says his grace continues forever. Another says his loyalty to us never ends. Another says his love never quits, never fails. And what a great reminder. We have a trustworthy God that gives us great things. And not only has he been generous, not only is he generous, but what this reminds us of is that we can count on him to continue to be that way. He'll continue to be that way because that is part of his character. And we can trust him because he promises to be a great, generous, loving God. And that will never, never, ever fail. So can we trust this awesome being who created us? He says, yes, you can. We can develop a close relationship with him because he's called us to this life. And even though it may seem like we are blindfolded, our ultimate spiritual Sherpa, God himself, is leading us. So he says we can trust him. And here's how. He gives us another way, a fourth way. We can know that we can trust him even in adversity. Even when we're going through difficult situations. Even though we're going through terrible trials when it seems like, wait a second, shouldn't everything be going well? Well, you know, sometimes on those Sherpa walks at camp, not everybody follows directions exactly right, and they might step into a hole out there in the field. Or they might not follow right along, and they get into trouble. Yeah, we set up one little team challenge game. We called it Minefield. And we put all these different obstacles out on this course. And, of course, we paired up the groups, so each had a partner. One could see, the other was blindfolded. Of course, it wasn't that he led them by the hand. The one could give directions from the sidelines and had to say, step right, step left. Of course, some of those little ones, which way's left? They're not sure which way. That follow my voice. Step this way. No, step that way. Probably the funniest one was, jump! It's like, how far? Or take a giant step. Amazing when you see that. And here you see, even when you're about to run into trouble, God's there. God's there. Now, of course, we made it a little more interesting. Before we put the blindfolds, they could look out on the course and see all the obstacles. Then we made it even more difficult. We put out mouse traps. Of course, then I had to tease them. Okay, everybody take your shoes off. No, we didn't make them take their shoes off. But just to recognize, you've got to trust this individual. Even though it looks like there's no way you're going to make it across. No way you'll make it through the trials, the difficulties, the adversity. But when we listen to God, take a look at Psalm 56. Psalm 56 is like David going through a minefield. Here's King David. And he wrote this song after the Philistines captured him. Of course, that seemed to be the perennial, you know, challengers. Yeah, he not only fought Goliath and the Philistines, they kept turning up. Here in Psalm 56, notice David's perspective. Notice what he says right here at the very beginning of Psalm 56. He says, be merciful to me, God, for man would swallow me up. Yeah, these Philistines are after me, fighting all day. They oppress me. Yeah, this was the challenge. And life feels like that sometimes. There are so many mines in front of me, so many things that could blow up. There's no way I can make it. He says, my enemies would hound me all day. Verse 2, there are many who fight against me, O Most High. But in adversity, where did David turn? When faced with the difficulties, the things that could explode in his face. Verse 3, whenever I'm afraid, what's my go-to emotion? Not distrust. Whenever I'm afraid, David's default was, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I've put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Well, it could kill me. But I'm in God's hands. God's going to watch out for me. And so here David is telling us, we have a responsibility to develop that kind of trusting relationship with God, that no matter the circumstances, we're going to look to him. And that's a challenge for all of us. Because can I really trust the one who's giving me directions? Well, the preteeners had a little bit of a challenge with that, for sure. But we've got the perfect Sherpa. We've got the perfect one leading. But all too often, we think we might know better. Sometimes we may step away from God's directions. And he says, no, follow me. Follow me. Trust me. Even though you can't see the way to go, you can trust me. Because even the things that you can't fix, when they're in my hands, they will work out for good. All things will work together for good when we put our trust, our love in God. Even when we can't reason through it, even when we can't figure out the solution, he says, trust me. And so, sometimes we take control ourselves and we move over to try to do God's part. And that's where we've got to catch ourselves. We can't say, well, God, I'm not sure you really understand my problems. Do you really understand the issues I'm having in my marriage? Can I actually put my relationship with my spouse in your hands? Do you really understand? That's when we've got to put it in God's hand. God, can I really surrender my finances to you? Are you going to watch over me? I don't know if you understand all the bills and the challenges that I face. Do you understand how bad my finances are? How could I ever get out of this? Well, he says, trust me. But if I step out in faith, do you really understand all the obstacles I'm facing? Well, I think that's where we need to be a little bit like those preteen campers. Because Christ said, be like a little child. And the simplicity is having that willingness to say yes to God. Yes, I believe you. Yes, I trust you. Yes, I don't understand how this is going to work out, but I am in your hands. And when I don't have the answers, I know through these difficulties, I can try to be like David. And when I'm afraid, I'm going to trust you. When I'm facing the difficulties and the minefield is in front of me, I'm putting my faith and trust in you. I believe you, God. Help my unbelief. Help me, God. And even when I don't understand, I'm going to trust you. And we can grow in a much deeper trusting relationship with God when we do trust him, even in the most difficult times. And I think that can help us in another way, to develop a true trusting relationship with God. How do we do that? Here's how. We go to the source. A fifth thing. Go to the source. Go to the source. You know, when we're feeling blessed, when things are going great, when life's good, don't trust those blessings. Don't trust, well, everything's great, it's going to stay this way forever. Well, it might. But then again, it might not. Is that the basis of our relationship? Is that the basis of our trust? We could get a little out of sorts if that's the case. We could become self-reliant or self-dependent. Instead, go to the source. Recognize the source. We don't want to trust the outcome or the circumstances. You know, when we trust our job, we placed our trust in the wrong hands. We've got to trust God, who is the provider of that job. If we trust our health instead of trusting God, who is the provider of health, we're going to get things all reversed. Sometimes we even count on ourselves. We trust our own intellect. Well, I'll figure this all out. Well, wait a second. If we go to the source, we trust God, who gives us the power to think and to reason. That's where our trust should really be. Trusting the source. And that is so important. But sometimes we get a little out of order. Proverbs chapter 18 is such a great reminder of that very fact. Let's notice what the Proverbs tell us. We have words of wisdom here in chapter 18, verse 10. Because oftentimes in the Proverbs we're shown, here's the way to be. Here's what your perspective to be should be. But if it's not, here's what's going to happen. And we have these two contrary concepts that are going on. And here in Proverbs 18, we see that very thing. Here's one way you could go, and it's going to go well. Here's another way you could go, and it's going to lead to trouble. One is trust, one is distrust. Let's notice what it says, Proverbs 18:10. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. But on the other hand, the rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall, his own esteem. Well, other translations say a rich man's wealth is imagined to be an unscalable wall. So we really have two things that we trust in. Either we trust in God or we trust in ourselves. Those who trust in God, they put their constant faith in Him. They immediately, continually go to Him. They're not just kind of casually. No, they run to God. They can't wait to be in His presence. But you make possessions, your city, your wall. You think you're untouchable because you've built this wall around you. You say, wait a second. That's right, when Satan is ready and able to convince you, hey, you've got it made, you're untouchable. And so when we look at this, we're reminded, all right, do you have an unscalable wall? Or is your trust truly in the strong tower, that strong spiritual tower, that strong spiritual Sherpa? What's leading you? Where are you guided? Who leads you? Is it your own wall that you think is protecting you? Is it your job? Is it your education? Is it your salary? Oh, it's my retirement account. I'm going to be all right. Or maybe it's my youth. I'm young. I'm energetic. I can do these things. And sometimes we can get off track putting our trust there, our position, maybe even our health. You see, those things get us off track because we don't recognize the true source of all of those blessings. Because the source is God. And if we allow it, God will be that source of constant, continual need. He'll fulfill every need for us. And so as we consider that, we make God the source and we recognize Him as the source no matter what. No matter what. And when we put all of these various things together, I think we recognize that trust and faith go hand in hand. Because an absolute, unshakable trust in God and in God's promises really is the definition of what faith is all about. It's absolute trust and commitment to God. And that builds that beautiful relationship that God wants to have with each and every one of us. There's a beautiful summary passage of this back in the Psalms. Psalm 37, verse 23. Notice what it reminds us of. In a way, it's summarizing these five how to have that trusting, deep relationship with God. It's a reminder of how we can build not just a team, but build a right relationship with the one true God. Psalm 37, notice verse 23. I'm sure it'll sound very familiar. Imagine this walk that God has called us to as he directs us here in Psalm 37:23. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." And this is such a beautiful statement. When we trust God, he's going to direct our steps. He is the ultimate spiritual Sherpa. He's going to guide us no matter what. And we follow the guide. We can follow him. And sometimes, yeah, we're going to mess up. We're going to go off track. We're going to step on an obstacle because we're not always that tuned to him as we should be. Well, does he give up on us? Does he say, well, that's what you get? No, he helps us up. It says he'll uphold us. He's personally involved in our life. And so like those team challenge games, he reminds us that trusting him is the key. And that, yeah, life is kind of like a Sherpa trust walk. And he wants us to recognize we can have a total commitment to him. We can trust he's going to help that commitment. He's going to help us to trust him. And he shows us that if we recognize his care never fades, it never goes away, that he's continually there and constantly caring for us, that we can put that trust in him. And that he is generous. He doesn't withhold, even when we're not perfect in our steps, when we're not perfectly following him. He still is a generous God who loves us and wants the best for us. And even when we step on a mine, even though those obstacles we're faced with in our life, he says, you can still trust me. I'm going to bring you through these things. I'm going to watch over you because you can trust the source of all that is good. And so what a great reminder for all of us that we have a loving, caring God. So no matter what the case, you can face any circumstance with confidence and hope because it's not your strength. It's not your wisdom. It's not your energy. It's not your power that brings the victory. Success comes because of God's ability. And you can tap into an irresistible force that no one and nothing can successfully oppose when we place our trust in the one true God.